Hallelujah. We're truly, truly thankful. I'm going to press forward in the Word of God today. There is new wine in my cluster, and there is a blessing in it. Hallelujah. Somebody put your hands on your eyes. Say, Lord, today, continue to open my eyes and help me walk in the reality of your revelation of this word. I receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, I receive it. Everything that the Lord has for me today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is new wine in our cluster. Let's go to John chapter 2, where we have been for a few weeks. I want us to press forward in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. This is a beautiful summer. Sometimes it gets so warm. I think people are now beginning to say, well, maybe we don't need this summer to be this warm, right? I still take it over the snow, won't you? I think it beats the snow. So somebody say, thank you, Lord, for this lovely summer. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 2. And let's read from verse 10. It says, he said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the best wine until now. You have kept the best wine until now. Just think about that for a minute. No matter what you and I have already experienced, God has better. Yes. I say God has better. Yes. There is new wine for you and for me. Amen. Amen. And new wine is representative of the new things that God has promised to do in our lives. The newer things. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not yet entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared. God has prepared higher and better. And we're experiencing little bits of it. Amen. Amen. Not we're not swimming in it yet, but we're experiencing little glimpses of it. Our biggest challenge is the devotion that I have for preaching this series of messages on the Holy Spirit and on holding on to the new wine that God gives to us. That devotion that I have is a determination that we are not just going to see little glimpses, we're going to enter into the fullness of it. Yes. And that which the Lord has given to us, we will enjoy the fullness of it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the Lord has new wine for us. Isaiah 65 verse 8. It says right there, it's become one of our theme scriptures now. Isaiah 65 and verse 8. It says, thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Say with me again, there is new wine in my cluster. Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. So, the Lord has new wine for his people. We see in Acts chapter 2, after all of those prophecies, especially the prophecies through Joel, we see in Acts chapter 2, in the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out, you remember one of the things that people were laughing about when they saw the disciples or the believers manifesting the evidence of the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Some of them said, no, they are full of new wine. Do you see that? In Acts chapter 2 verse 13, others mocking said, these men are what? Full of new wine. These men are full of new wine. And then Peter had to call them to order and say, yeah, we are full of new wine, but it's not that new wine you think. It's not the new wine that causes people to go into a stupor. Like a physical stupor where you lose control of your senses. He started to say, this is the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are full of new wine, but it is not new wine like you know. The one you drink that gets you drunk physically, makes you lose control of your senses. It is the new wine of the Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone listening to me today that you may truly not just taste, but you may really experience the new wine of the Holy Spirit. It is a totally different level. And you will know when it happens to you. This life of the supernatural is not an ordinary life. And we can hear about it. We can read about it. We can even dream about it. But the Lord does want us to experience it. Somebody say, I'm going to experience it. Say, I'm already experiencing it. And I'm going to hold on to the reality of it. So we saw that when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2. Bible says there, the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Suddenly the Holy Spirit took control. Suddenly the Holy Spirit overshadowed and overwhelmed them. When that happens to you, you will go from an ordinary experience to a divine experience. Hallelujah. I know they were speaking in tongues, and I know one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit filling us is speaking in tongues, but there's more to it than that, though. Because I think there's also a sense of religion where sometimes people get comfortable, like, oh, I pray in tongues. I pray in the Spirit. Yeah, it's good to pray in the Spirit. That's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit filling you. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. When the Holy Spirit fills you, and when you experience this new wine of the Holy Spirit, one, it changes your passion. You have a new passion. I don't care if you speak in tongues from today till kingdom come. If there is no difference in your passion, we need you to go back to that altar. It fills you with new passion. Everyone who received the new wine of the Holy Spirit received new passion. Hallelujah. Receive new drive, new desire for the things of God. It fills you with passion. There's a fire. The Bible actually says you are baptized. You see that? It says on them there were cloven tongues like what? Like as of fire. What is the use of those cloven tongues like as of fire if it doesn't change the passion that you have? If it doesn't change the passion that you have. You could see. Even from these scriptures that we're reading, I'm trying to pull out some of my additional notes I didn't think I was going to use today, but I'm hearing it coming into my spirit. So I really want us to talk a little bit more, delve very strongly into the place of the heart, the mind, being spiritually minded, spiritually mindedness. And I started to talk about this last week. And I know a couple of services ago, I was standing there during either the offering or something. And I heard those words. The Lord said, being spiritually minded is not the same thing as being spiritually aware. Because you can be spiritually aware, but you may not be spiritually minded. Hallelujah. You see that even there, in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, look at it, cloven tongues of fire sat on all of them. They were speaking in tongues. But let me ask you, is that all you see there? No. If you read the rest of that passage, then, you know, they were mocking, they were laughing. Guess who got up to speak? The man who denied Jesus. Three times. The man who, three people ask him, are you not one of them? No, not me. I've never seen him in my life. He is the one who got up and began to declare with boldness. So there's passion. Passion is one of the evidences in addition to speaking with tongues. Passion, new passion of the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. There's boldness. Somebody say boldness. Boldness. Like the man who couldn't speak, the man who was denying the Lord, suddenly started saying, yeah, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. New boldness came upon him. Hallelujah. But that's not all. Then there is victory. The Holy Spirit is the greater one who brings victory into our lives. So there is a new level of victory that we experience. Hallelujah. So it is extremely important that we are able to get into and enjoy the benefit of this experience with the Holy Spirit. Well, why were we studying in Mark chapter 4, the story of the sower? Because we want to learn both how to experience, hold on to the experience, and continue to enjoy it, right? And we saw all of the different ways in which the enemy aspires and tries to take away from us what the Lord gives us. It says there in Mark chapter 4, from verse 14, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So you can receive the new wine of the Holy Spirit, and Satan can come and take it away from you if you let him. Amen. And then he says, these likewise are they which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately, they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There's offense. Offense is one of the things that the enemy throws at believers to throw them off. When Satan wants to throw you off your game, he throws offense in your direction. Hallelujah. Because the moment you get offended, especially, you know, some people are offended at God, some people are offended at people, some people are offended at the things that God is doing, the kingdom of God. Once you get offended, that's it. It's taking over your heart. Whatever it is that the Lord has ordained for you, that new wine, you cannot enjoy. Amen. Because there is offense. And then he says there in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we see the enemy can throw cares your way. Talked a lot about that last week. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things. To take away the new wine. Amen. Because when your focus becomes, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to move forward in life? And deceitfulness of riches. How can we get more? Once that becomes your focus, you lose the new wine of the Holy Spirit. But mind you, you can enjoy the new wine of the Holy Spirit, and he keeps adding all of those things as long as you keep your focus on the Lord, right? Remember Matthew 6, 33? What does he say? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what's going to happen? All this. Does he say a few things? Does he say some things? What does he say? All. But notice the key is that you are seeking first his kingdom. You are not seeking the things. Because when the things become your primary focus, then you lose the wine. You lose the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about those who are able to keep it and enjoy it. Those who have a good heart. He says in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And then, of course, you see that in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. If you look in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, that's where he talks about these people are those with a good heart. I started to hear this and I started to say it. I got off of it. Do you know what our lives will look like if we fully experienced everything that the Lord started to do in our lives and if we never lost them? Can you imagine where our lives would even be? Because if we go encounter after encounter, spiritual experience after spiritual experience, and then we only taste it, but before we can even get the fullness of it. And you know, every time we have these encounters with the Lord, every time we have these experiences, whether in your personal life or in a corporate group or something happens to you, you know, this was, the Lord did something in my life. Every time that happens, you know, something changes immediately for a few days. But if we don't do what we need to do with it, within a few weeks, you hardly even remember you had that experience with the Lord. And that's why people keep going round and round the same circles. And that's why spiritual growth is stunted. We can get the lingo, because if you stay around it long enough, you can learn to speak the way they speak it. You know, and you become spiritual aware. You've heard the scriptures. You've heard the revelations. But being spiritual aware is different from being spiritually minded. Say those words with me. Being spiritually aware is different from being spiritually minded. It is extremely important. Say that with me. It is extremely important that I am spiritually minded. Say that. Say, it is extremely important that I am spiritually minded. I want to show you here why. In Luke chapter 8 and what verse is this? Is this 15? Where he talks about those who with a good heart, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and what? Good heart. Having heard the word, what do? They keep it. And then what? They bring forth fruit with patience. That is ongoing. They continue to produce fruit. They continue to produce fruit. A gentleman that we have known for many years, who is a successful architect in Nigeria, is a man who blessed us. God used him to bless us a lot while we were there. And we had not really been in touch with him for so many years. But somehow we were able to make connection with him. And we were talking with him last week. And, you know, he shared this illustration with me, which caught my attention. He said, you know, and he was talking business this time. He was talking business. He says a lot of people, when it comes to business, they don't have a follow through. And he's a successful businessman who's, you know, he says he's interacted with a lot of people who are starting businesses, who are trying to prosper in business. And he says many times one of their biggest problems is that they are impatient. He says one of their biggest problems is they want to put a seed in the ground today. I want to see a forest tomorrow. And so he talked about the process. This man was, he was sharing this. And I said, this is actually very, because it was a Sunday after service, we were having this conversation. This is actually quite interesting because this is part of what I was ministering earlier on in our service today. Then he went through all the process of how you put a seed in the ground. First of all, it dies. Then, you know, then it begins to germinate. Then you see a little bit on the top of the thing and it becomes, you know, and that's that process. He said, but what happens to a lot of people is the moment that thing, sometimes they don't even let it germinate and they go dig it up because they can't see anything quick. But then he says some other people, they can wait enough for that thing to grow and produce a little semblance of a fruit. And then they go and start taking it. And he says, even that fruit has a process of maturing. And this is the point he made because this really connected with me. I was talking last week in the area of even prosperity. God's plan is not just that you have now. God wants to help you to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce to a point where it's a constant ongoing blessing in your life. Amen. That's that new wine. It's not, like I said, if somebody wins a lottery today, you can say they are rich. What we want to do is see them in 5 years from now. And that's the process that man was talking about. Like a lot of people can't really, and that's how the new wine of the Holy Spirit is. That's how our experience with the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life will keep on growing. It will keep on maturing. It will keep on releasing fruit on the earth in your life if you do the right thing with it. But if you don't, you can lose it all. Within 2 weeks, you may not even remember the Holy Spirit did anything. Within 2 weeks, because of all of this. So notice, he talks about the one with a good heart. He says there in verse 15, that on the good ground are they which in an honest heart, honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do? They keep it and they bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit with patience. And I know that last week I started to talk to you about this spiritual mindedness versus just being spiritually aware or carnally minded. Go with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go with you here. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm really deeply excited in my spirit about this part of this word and this part of this message, the entire message. I'm just almost like, you know, there's this sense in like, you know, something's about to happen. And it's just this explosion that is going to come. I can just feel that. And so as I tread, you know, a lot of times I'm constantly, because, you know, there are so many things to be said, but everything is not ready to be said. Many times Jesus said to his disciples, he said, there are things I want to tell you now, but you can't receive it. But then later he said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance and teach you all things. Amen. So even beyond the things that he could say, things that he didn't say, he said, the Holy Spirit will take off mine and he will reveal it to you. Because at that time you will be ready. Now, don't you see that in the life of Peter? You see that in the life of Peter, don't you? Because when the Lord, one time when Jesus was saying, oh, you are all going to deny me, you are going to walk away from me, what did Peter say? Get thee behind me. He said, well, because you couldn't see what the Lord. And the Lord didn't even say much. He just said that, and he went all over his head. Because he was not spiritually minded. He was spiritually aware, but he was not spiritually minded. Well, the Lord didn't say much more. He just said, get thee behind me, and kept quiet.
But guess what? On the day of Pentecost, who was unraveling all these revelations? Who was telling them, this is that which Joel was speaking about? Did Peter know that when Jesus was telling him, I will go to the cross and I will die, they will... Did he know that then? No, he did not. No, he did not. But the time came when the Holy Spirit could reveal that to him, could release that revelation to him, and he was able to receive it, and he was able to take it. Oh, my desire for you, children of God. There's just a higher place. There's a higher level. Oh, there is a life of supernatural. There is. It's real. I know our human life experiences from time to time challenge the notion that the life of the supernatural is real. It is real. It is real. And even if all we accomplish in this series of teachings, series of messages that we're doing, even if all we can accomplish is just get a little bit of it, just taste it and just scratch the surface, it will still be worth it. Because then we can build on it later on. Amen. So some of the things that you hear me say, when I say I feel this explosion, there's this excitement in my spirit. But even then, I'm very reluctant. So I'm constantly looking, Lord, which of them, which of these, what do you want said and where and when? Hallelujah. So before we take communion, you know, I want us to at least get something, one of those things that's really big. I think it's really big here. Can make a very major difference in our lives. Total difference in our lives. Go there to Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 from verse 1, verse 2 now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. One of our deaconesses, one of the times when I read this scripture about 2 or 3 weeks ago, walked up to me and said, do you know one of the meanings of the word mind is the word obey? To mind something or someone means to obey that person. That a definition, a dictionary definition of the word mind, one of them is obey. I said, I didn't even really know that. But I was glad that she shared that with me. Because to mind something, notice that scripture again. Notice what he says. he says, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. But let's replace the word mind with the word obey. Like that deaconess, you know, helped open my eyes to. So let's do that. For they that are after the flesh do what? Obey the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they obey the things of the Spirit. And then in verse 6, it says what? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go here. There is a major difference. Hear me. There is a major difference between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded. As a believer, you can be carnally minded most of your life. As a child of God. Listen. God wants you and me to experience a supernatural life. God wants you and me, this our existence, cannot just remain at this basal, average, carnal, natural level. There's another level, is a spiritual level, is a supernatural life. We have to experience it. It's not a must, but if you want God's best in your life, you must experience it. If you don't experience this supernatural life, this supernatural realm of living, you will never know God's best. You will never know this new wine, ever. Look at that scripture again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. And I told you the other time, I said there is a difference between being spiritually minded and being spiritually aware. You can be spiritually minded and yet be carnally minded. Excuse me, I got to take that back. I'm sorry. Forget everything I just said in that sentence. You can be spiritually aware and yet be carnally minded. But you cannot be spiritually minded and be carnally minded at the same time. You cannot. And what are we talking about here? There is a state in which your mind is all the time. There is a state in which your mind is all the time. And, you know, last week I started to get into this. I started to talk about the comparison or the connection between your tongue and your mind and your heart. And I started to say to you, there's that scripture in James chapter 3 where the Bible talks about the tongue. And I said, if you go to that scripture and you replace, every time you see tongue in that scripture, replace it with mind, you will be amazed the state of the mind of most of us believers most of the time. Why is this so important? Help me, Holy Spirit. Why is this so important, folks? This is very important because we cannot enjoy the best of God in our lives as long as we are carnally minded. We cannot. So, the only hope of enjoying, somebody might think, well, then that means most people will not enjoy the best of God. You are right. Most people don't. You are absolutely right. Most people will not enjoy the best of God, and they are satisfied with the little they have. Many people are satisfied just being spiritually aware. I tell you right now, a very simple evidence, like the day, you know, during the convention, I know at a point in time, because the Holy Spirit, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it took a while for some people to make that shift. As we got towards, even now, some people are still struggling. And the week after, so the days after, some people, it went over many people's head completely. That was an experience right there where some people's lives could have been radically changed, but some people just participated in the service, but nothing really happened to them. And many people are going to go into services, many services like that. They will experience many things like that, but nothing will really have ever happened to them. But for some people, it will be life-changing. And I can tell you, it's very easy to tell. Are you spiritually minded or are you carnally minded? And you know, there are a number of things I usually do as a pastor, as a shepherd. That's my privilege, you know. I throw out a lot of things over the ministry, the churches, and I just sit back and watch. It's the privilege of a shepherd. And a lot of times, it helps me, somebody talk about reading the temperature in a room. It helps me read temperatures. So if we're going and we're in this spiritual service and suddenly I say, get up, let's pray in the spirit. Get up, let's pray in the spirit. And you start praying, fine. You know, there's something going on and I'm reading temperatures. when the Lord said that in that open heaven service, get up and go around and start praying and start praying and start praying. First of all, there were some people who took a while for some people to even know what we were doing. I saw people doing high five. Hello. Hello. Then I saw some people were just laughing, I mean, a lot of children were laughing. Because, you know, that they don't understand these things, you know. And there are some people who just sat there wondering what was going on. And then there were some people who were focused on COVID. And like I say, if you have services like that every week, I will be very concerned about it. Because, I mean, come on, we know health and we know everything going on. But if once in a while the Lord comes and says, do this, the last thing on my mind is anything natural. Because I'm spiritually minded. Yes. 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 I'm not laughing, it's not funny. I'm not high-fiving. It's just a prayer. Do you think in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they were high-fiving? They were going and say, hey, boy, it's so good to see you. No, you think that's no? No, but you see, that shows you the temperature. It shows you most people are not spiritually minded. It shows you. Because they don't know what to do in that spiritual environment. Folks, in order to encounter, say with me, put your hand on your heart right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, everything that the Lord has ordained for my life, I will experience. I will experience. I will enjoy. And I will keep in the name of Jesus. So it's not wrong to think about natural things at all. But I'm telling you, when you are spiritually minded, your default go-to is not natural. It's not natural. You don't decode things naturally. You don't see something and the first thing you think is natural. Natural. No. So I pray for you and thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll go to communion shortly. I pray for you, the mind of the Holy Spirit you will receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. The mind of the Holy Spirit is a totally different life, You can still live in this natural world and we're surrounded by natural things, but even while you are living in this natural world, you can keep the mind of the Holy Spirit. You can keep the mind of the Holy Spirit. Let me say one or two things to you here and then try to close this so we can have communion. And I'm going to try to read this directly from here. Oh, this is so good. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this now. Whenever the Lord imparts something precious or something of value into your life, it is your utmost responsibility to nurture it, hold on to it firmly, because Satan will immediately go to work. See to it that you lose that precious gift from the Lord. Make sure you get it. Only the Holy Spirit can help us achieve this, so it is important that we are spiritually minded and spiritual and continue to stay engaged with Him and draw closer to Him. So you find out over the next several weeks in this season, we're going to be just talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. Just talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to listen to these words here. The mind is very much like the tongue, and they both work in partnership to create what the Bible describes as the flesh. So every time you see the Bible in the New Testament talk about the flesh, like in Romans chapter 8, take your eyes back here. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 right here. Look at what it says here. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Every time you read things like that, the flesh, think about your mind, think about your tongue. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the mind. So every time you see this flesh, carnal, all of that, think a lot. It's talking primarily about your mind and your tongue. In fact, in James, I read just one verse right there. In James chapter 3, what is that verse? I think it's, let me pull that out. Where it says the tongue is an unruly evil. No man can tame it. It's James chapter 3. There's a verse right there. Let's pull out that verse. And let me have you do this replacement thing I was talking to you about. That entire passage, you could replace the word tongue with the word mind, and you will not be wrong. But look at that verse 8. It's verse 8, James chapter 3, verse 8. Look at what it says. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. If you replace the word tongue there with the word mind, you read it and see what it says. But the mind can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The mind, the natural mind. The natural mind. See, and the tongue and the mind work together to determine the state of your heart. This is why this is really important. Your tongue is, I was saying last week, fuel gauge, fuel tank. What is in your tank, you can tell by what is reflected in your gauge on your dashboard. You don't have to go and put a stick there like we used to do years ago on the mission field. Put a stick to find out and pull out the stick to see the level of the fuel. See which part is wet so you can tell, how much gas do I have? No, you don't. Technology has moved past that. Just by looking at your dashboard, you can tell how much gas you have in your tank. Do you know, by listening to what you say, when the people you seek to impress are not there, it tells you the state of your mind. Remember, we're talking about being spiritually minded. Being spiritually minded. The mind is very much like the tongue, and they work in partnership to create what the Bible describes as the flesh. They work together to determine the state of your heart, which is the powerhouse of your life. You cannot afford to let your natural mind rule, control, and direct your life. You must determine to be spiritually minded, and you must determine to be spiritually minded and constantly renew that mind to its spiritual state. The mind constantly defaults to its natural state, but we must constantly renew it to its spiritual state. What is the natural state of the mind? That unruly. Read James chapter 3 verse 8 again. For that mind is unruly and evil. Read that James chapter 3 verse 8 again. He's saying your tongue, because your tongue is what is telling you what is in your mind, right? Your tongue is what is telling you what is in your mind. But look at the way it describes that tongue. You can replace it with the mind. You'll be right. The tongue or the mind, no man can tame. It means you can't tame it by natural means. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Look at the next verse. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, you can say out of the same mind, proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. I mean, the tongue reflects what is going on in the mind, and both of those things, they determine the state of your heart. You remember that prayer that psalmist prayed in Psalm 19, I think it's verse 14. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Be acceptable in your sight. What is coming out of your mind, or out of your mouth, and what is the prevalent thought in your mind, determine the state of your heart. It's verse 10. No, sorry. What's that? Psalm 19? Is that verse 14? Put that up for me for just 1 minute. I'm going to close. We have to do communion. Verse 14. Thank you. Psalm 19, verse 14. Somebody make this confession of faith with me. In the name of Jesus, I am transitioning from a place of being naturally minded, carnally minded, carnally controlled in my mind, to a place of being spiritually minded, being controlled by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, even in my mind. You would be able to tell how far you have gone in that process by the words that come out of your mouth when people are not there, and the kind of thoughts that are prevalent in your mind when people are not there. You will be able to determine. So forget about all this, the show here. Forget about this and forget about what we do when we are all in one another's presence. When you are in your privacy, in the most private place of your life, the words you hear yourself speaking, the thoughts you hear yourself thinking, show your heart, the condition of your heart. And if your heart is not spiritual, remember we said about this woman who, the Bible said, for she kept saying. She wasn't saying it to anyone. She wasn't preaching. She wasn't at the pulpit. Was she at the pulpit? Who was she saying that thing to? To herself. She was saying it to herself. Nobody heard her. She didn't have a microphone. She was preaching that thing to herself. It was so deep. It was so real to her. That there is no way she would not have gotten healed that day. It was impossible for her not to be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was impossible for her not to be healed. See, that's the spiritual experience I'm talking to you about. The supernatural experience. It's not what you hear us say on the microphone. No, it's not this. It is what I'm saying in the privacy of my bedroom when I am alone. That's what's determining my success with God. Say, make this confession of faith with me. In the name of Jesus, I'm going from a state of being naturally minded, carnally minded, to a state of being spiritually minded, controlled by the Holy Spirit in every area of my life. That's where success comes. That's where success comes. Let's read one last scripture and close. That's where success comes. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4. Let's close out there. That's where success comes. See, some people say, oh, you know, like, oh, well, when you talk, you know, like when we're all in one another's presence and you know everybody expects you to sound spiritual, you say the spiritual things. But when you are either maybe by yourself or in the company of people you don't really, are not trying to impress because they already know you. It's like, oh, he already knows. What am I going to say? Let me just say it, Joe. She already knows. She knows I'm not, you know. So let me just say it. Well, when you are in the presence of those people, what you say really is a reflection of the accurate state of your mind. See, my English is messed up there. What you are saying is an accurate reflection. It's an accurate reflection of what is in your mind. It's not what you are saying when all the people you are trying to impress, they are all there. Or say, oh, hallelujah. Everything you say is always hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, to God be the glory. Amen, amen. Well, but listen, when your temperature begins to rise and you lose your Tabasco, thank you. Yeah, you got it. And you begin to lose control of your emotions. And you are no longer in control. You are upset. You are aggravated. You are offended or something is going on with you. In that moment, what is coming out of your mouth is the accurate reflection of the state of your heart. And that's no indictment on any of us. Because all of us are in one stage of growth or the other. We just gotta commit to that. Like, I'm going with the Holy Spirit. I'm going with the Holy Spirit. Because I want that new wine continually flowing in my life. I want the reality of heaven. I want peace and joy. Listen, folks, and he says to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Meaning, no matter how much life God has prepared for you, if you remain carnally minded, you will not enjoy that life. You know, there's that scripture in Galatians 6 that says, if you sow to the flesh, what would you reap? Corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, what would you reap? Life and peace. What's that scripture? It's Galatians 6 somewhere. It's Galatians 6, 7 and 8, I think it is. Put that up for me, quick. Let's close in Proverbs 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you get something from here?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. These are just little nuggets. I pray that you go study some of these things out yourself. If it's not true, throw them out. But you find them to be true. They are a little deeper than the usual things we talk about, but these are the things that affect the real, these are the things that affect our lives. Are you going to live a life of power? What we're talking about right here is what's going to determine that. It's not whether you shout or jump when we're preaching. No. Mm-mm. It's these things we're talking about here that will determine. And the same principle applies to the preacher as the same principle applies to those who are listening to the message. Like, God isn't going to say, oh, you are the preacher, you preached it, so don't worry, for you, you can get away with doing something different. No. Mm-mm. The same, like, if you sow to your flesh, you will reap death. It applies to the preacher and it applies to everybody. If you sow to the Spirit, what would you reap? Life and peace. It applies to the preacher and it applies to everybody. So we are all the same where the Word of God is concerned. There is no like, oh, I'm favored. I'm a favored child of God. I'm the one who preaches it. Therefore, look at that scripture right there in Galatians 6:8. Let's close out in Proverbs. We'll read one last scripture and then take communion. Look at it. For he that sows to his flesh shall do what? Of the flesh do what? Every time you open your mouth out of your tongue and you say corruptible things that you would not dare say in the presence of somebody else that you are trying to impress spiritually, you are corrupting your tongue. You're corrupting your life. Every time you give yourself that liberty, like people say, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. One time I remember, you know, I didn't do anything wrong to this person on the road. This person didn't know me from Adam. They don't know me. But from the moment they came across on the highway to where I was driving, they had that finger. First I thought maybe they were giving that finger to somebody. I didn't. But I noticed as they drove beside me, it was to me. I thought, I don't know this person. Who is this person? So then I thought to myself, okay. You know how your natural mind immediately wants to react in kind? So you have finger, I have finger too. You are not the only one who has finger. You think you are the only one who has finger? In fact, I have 10. Let me show you 3. No. So what did I do? Right there and then I had to make a decision. Right there and then. But I'm spiritually minded. I said, I'm a worthy representation of the Lord here. They don't know me. I'm not going to talk to them. They are in their car, whatever. But I'm so I looked at that finger and I did this. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And smiled. And smiled so that they know I'm not angry. I'm not upset. Whatever is eating them. You know, things, people are angry. I was telling a young person last week. I said, you know, this world is full of mean people. Let's close. Let's close. Too many stories. You guys love stories too much. When I start telling these stories, you have wrapped up. You were not listening before, but the moment I start telling all these stories, complete concentration. Eh? You're like, tell us. You love stories too much. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4. You are spiritually minded. That's right. Amen. I receive that. You know, this world is full of mean people. Mean people. Oh, this world is full of angry people. People just want to do you wrong. They are not happy if you are blessed. They are not happy if you are moving forward. If you are suffering, they really have compassion. They want to show you how much they have compassion. But really what it is, they are just happy you are suffering. The world is full of mean people. Folks, children of God, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to join them?
No.
And be a part of this evil poison in the world? The Bible says, James chapter 3 verse 8, for the tongue or the mind can no man tame. It's talking naturally. The only way you can tame your mind is through the Holy Spirit. For he says it is an unruly evil, a poisonous act. So are you going to let the evil and the meanness in the world corrupt you? when people hurt you, when people do you wrong, when people are mean to you, when people say unkind things about you, when people malign you, when they do all this, what are you going to do? Are you going to repay them in kind and keep on spreading this evil poison in the world? Or are you going to be a reflection of your heavenly Father? And the only way you will be is that you have to be spiritually minded. The decision will not come easy in the moment. It's very hard when you are a carnally minded person to do good to someone who is trying to hurt you. It's very hard. It's very hard to forgive. It's very hard not to take keep record of wrongdoing. My brothers and sisters, but it is the easiest thing when you are spiritually minded. It doesn't feel like work at all. They throw mud at you. Say, God bless you. See, why? You just know you are in the same boat with the Almighty God. You have covenant. Do you know what that means? I got to talk to you about it sometime. Let's close today. You have covenant with Almighty God that even when you go, have you read that scripture when he said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the waters, I will. There is something about your relationship with God that sees to it, no matter what the world or anybody tries to do, you are secure in God. You cannot be hurt. You cannot be stopped. You cannot, the greater one lives in you. Oh, I'm excited about Elo. I'm preaching about the greater one. It's the Holy Spirit. You can't be stopped. What about this? Like that woman who came out from nowhere giving, could she take the car that I was driving away from me? No. What could she do? Throw her tongue. Whatever. That's all. And what do I need to do? I need to immediately, I don't keep record of negative things at all. If I hear something negative, immediately, you will not hear me repeat. I will not repeat it. Because only one thing can fill your mind at a time. And if poison from the world is filling your mind, Holy Spirit can't fill your mind. That's to help many of you who get into all this talk and things and stuff and you just go into other. Don't do it. Keep your mind clear. Let the Holy Spirit fill it. Be spiritually minded. So you can, life and peace. They that sow to the Spirit shall do what? Reap life. Life and peace. Be spiritually minded. Let's close out in Proverbs 8 and take communion. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I feel so glorious right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you just remember all the time, nobody can hurt you. Nobody. Just remember the story of the children of Egypt. He said the more they afflicted them, what happened? The more they multiplied. The more the evil tries to attack you, the more you will prosper. That's, it is true. It is true. I can't tell you. Even just this pastor I was telling Pastor, is a week of miracles. I would describe it, week of miracles. And I have many weeks of miracles, but this one was particularly so. In the midst of whatever mud the enemy tries to throw, just supernatural. You just see God putting you above it all. Yes. So what do you stand to lose? Uh-huh. You don't lose, you win. Amen. Somebody say, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritually minded. Hallelujah. 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 Everything flowing out of me is honor to the Holy Spirit, is controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't allow the poison of the world. I don't allow the meanness of the world. I don't allow hatred from the world. I don't allow the evil of the world to contaminate my spirit, contaminate my spiritual heart in the name of Jesus. I make room every day for the goodness of the Lord. I walk in love. I walk in forgiveness. I'm kind to my neighbors. I'm good to everyone that I can in the name of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs, let's close out. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. He said, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. Child of God, you have to choose. Which one do you want? Do you want the one that is shining more and more? Even when you get older, it continues to shine. You just keep shining. Do you want that? Or do you want the way of darkness? It just keeps getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. They don't know what makes them stumble, he says in verse 19. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not what at what they stumble. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them where? Come on, keep them where? Right there, right there, right there. And the way you know how much of the word occupies you is by what's coming out of your tongue. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. When you put that kettle on a stove and the water begins to boil, you can't control it. Out of the spout comes bubbles of what's inside the kettle. Every kind of pressure brings out what's inside the kettle. So make sure. Hold on to his word. Attend to it in your heart. Don't let them dip. Don't be a church Sunday Christian. I didn't say you'll be perfect. No one is. No one will be on this part of Jordan. You will make mistakes. You will sometimes catch yourself doing wrong things, saying wrong things. And then what do? You pull back from it and say, that's not the way of the Lord. I'm not going there. And come what may, let all hell fall, you already decided you are not going there. That's what counts. Because if you went there, hell would not fall. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
If you went there, you get judgment from God. But hell will be happy with you. The reason hell broke out against you is because you said, I'm not going. When you say you are not going, you stare the hornet's nest. All the scorpions will come out for you. If you go with them, they will lure you until you get to hell. Then you get judgment. No, but you do well here. You prosper. You be anointed. But then when you get to judgment, you say, I never knew you. But on this earth, you will do well. But if you pull back from it, you stay the honestness. All evil will break out against you. How dare you pull back? So you will not be perfect. You would find yourself saying something. I mean, how many times do we hear ourselves say something and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I should not have said that. Or your conscience just smites you. Like, how could I say that? After all I know. Hallelujah. How could such words come out of my mouth? And then you have to go, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Help me next time to be able to put a guard. Let's have communion. Let's close out here. Here, Proverbs 4. Let's close this out. He says, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life unto those that find them. And what? Health to all their flesh. Verse 23, what? Keep
your heart with what? All diligence. Keep your heart. For what? Out of it are the forces of life. I pray for you, as I pray for myself today, that we will continue to walk with the Holy Spirit. Wherever you are, if you are online with us, you are here with us in this little room, I pray for you in the name of Jesus that your Christian experience will be real. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, you will not buy into religion. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that day after day, your walk with the Holy Spirit will be sweeter and sweeter. You will not just have lingo. Your heart will be truly circumcised by the Spirit of God himself. In the name of Jesus, you will walk continually every day in the process of regeneration, in the process of renewal, in the process of rekindling, in the process of revival, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will not go to stoop, you will not get into this stupor of the world, that you will not be lured to sleep, you will not be lured to lose your edge, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for you that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will sustain you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will keep you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will preserve you. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. As we come around communion today, we recommit our lives to him. He is the greater one. He is the one who lives within us, who gives us the upper hand above every evil plan of the world. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. In the name of Jesus, we look for your new wine. In this summer, as we go, wherever we go, all the things we do, people will interact with. Father, daily, whether we're having fun, we're having pleasure, we're doing different things. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit himself will always be there, undergirding us, keeping us, enabling us, walking with us, protecting us, sheltering us. We thank you, our Father. We give you the glory and the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.